You are now tuned into the United Pulse podcast.
Hey, yo, what it do, baby? Back again with another episode of the United Pulse podcast. I am your host, Snacks, joined as always by my very good friends, Eames and Colin. How you doing? We got to get going because we got 30 minutes. I was trying to rush that.
At least you weren't. What did you say last time? You were a hoist?
A hoist. Yeah, I'm a hoist.
Yeah, I'm good, bro.
So how you guys doing?
You know, phenomenal. Can't really hate right now. Boys are moving.
Oh. All right, let's get right into it. Manchester United. Let's talk about the Europa League. We are two games in. Obviously, we didn't talk after the Sociedad game because we were expecting a Premier League game and we were going to do it all in one. Obviously, the Queen died and postponement for that. And I think this weekend's games are mostly postponed, or some of them still are. Like the City United game is postponed.
This episode's dedicated to United Pulse.
So we're two games in at home. We lost to Sociedad. I think we can all agree that we were significantly the better team, and that was kind of like the ref making the game his own kind of thing. But what do you guys think?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, handballs, trash. I mean, listen.
It was a really bad call. It was a really bad call.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe we should have scored. I mean, we definitely should have scored, but it was like a trash Europa game. They got lucky. They closed up shop. Handball was trash. I'm over it. I'm not mad. It was a good performance.
It's like the first loss that I can, like, I was just like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah, Colin? I'm not really that bothered. It's just like, you know, it's like annoying to lose, but like in the grand scheme of things, when you lose on a call like that, like that's the annoying part. Like the performance wasn't terrible. He did mix it up. So like it wasn't as fluid as, say, like, you know, the last couple games that we've had. But like all in all, kind of like you guys said, I'm not terribly bothered, especially that we won against Sheriff. So like we're more or less on track to win this group.
Yeah, I mean, not really much to say about the Sociedad game. We looked good.
Was that McNeil's debut that game? Yep. He never played for us before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. McNeil came on. Yeah, I mean, I thought we looked good. I thought we were definitely the better team. We probably deserved a draw. Maybe we didn't play well enough because we just didn't have the chances in my mind. But, like, we definitely played well enough to, like, not lose. We were the better team. Moving on, FC Sheriff was yesterday for us as a time of recording. 2-0? 2-0.
2-0, baby.
2-0. 2-0, Sancho. He likes that, like, top of the box middle spot quite a bit, fellas. He really, like, he's got two of his three goals have been from that area of the pitch.
Tucking in. Yeah,
bro, I love to see it. He's so clean in the box. Like, he never looks rushed. He never looks panicked. This man is, bro, he's Professor X. He just slows time a little bit and just rolls into a corner.
The dummies are crazy. I mean, when you see it live, too, because live, you're like, all right, he's about to score. It's a dummy. It's a dummy. And then he goes with his left foot and he puts it in. Bro, it's so exciting to watch live. I love those goals because I'm, especially when me and Snacks are watching together, bro. I'm like on the ground. I've fallen off my chair at this point.
He's dislocated both of my shoulders.
I'm looking for something to grab onto. I'd love those goals.
All my expensive collectibles, he just takes them and throws them on the ground.
How many goals does that make it for him this
three.
Season?
Three.
Three or four?
Three.
Three. Three. That's good. But he's been involved really in, good.
I think, five or six.
And he could have had a fourth for him personally off the line.
Yeah, off the line. Bro, he could have low-key had a hat trick off the line, and then that chance at the very end where he just had a poor touch. Like, bro could have low-key had a sneaky hattie.
Yeah, he's been nice this year, scoring goals, likes that left wing area a whole lot.
Yeah, you guys know that they're still looking for, what's his face, James Milner? They put out a missing persons report.
I thought this guy was going to say something like actually like to contribute. I was like, oh, okay, you're going to perk up. And then
I was watching that one. Bro, Van Dijk's out here looking like he got arrested. Twerking left, twerking right, doing everything but stopping the ball. Same thing in Sheriff. I thought he was going to – so he did that first little dummy. I thought he was going to chop it to Bruno, who's on his left. Yeah. And me sitting down in my chair, my entire head, body moved to the left, and he sold me along with the rest of their defense and then just rolled it so slow into the corner. He actually sold me with that one. I'm still looking for myself.
He's looking great. I mean, so many guys under Ten Hag have been looking really, really good, but he's definitely up there in the list in terms of, like, different player from last season entirely, really.
Yeah, he's been class. Seems like we're still like, what other things about the match did you guys notice that you guys would want to bring up first?
Pros or cons?
Either one. Just anything, generally speaking.
You want this one first?
No, you got it.
First and foremost, I kind of mentioned this in the group chat, bro. We're playing ball. I know it's Sheriff, but versus Sheriff versus Liverpool, Arsenal, like, it's not like, you know, one or two kind of nice combinations or a string of passes where, like, under all, like, oh, like, that was kind of neat. Like, the boys kind of put something together there. Like, nah, it's like very regular, very combined. I think, again, getting guys in like Lissandro, like Antony, people who already know his style of play, what he demands, what he expects, has also been super helpful. I mean, Lissandro Martinez has done a complete 180. First off, he was, you know, 5'2" and like couldn't jump, and now he's, you know, the next best thing since sliced bread. What was it? He completed like 87 passes today. To be honest, I know it's going to sound like a reach, but I did watch him last season, and watching him now in the Premier League, I think top 5, top 3, strictly center backs, like on the ball, like a passing center back, ball playing center back, he's a top 5, top 3 passing center, like on the ball center back. He is ridiculous, man. And, like, we haven't even really seen some of the switches that he was doing at Ajax, which I think we're going to see as the season goes on. Some of these switches he plays to Antony are just, bro, he gets the whole team moving. Dude, he's on the ball. He's a joke. But, yeah, really happy. And I do wish he scored a little more, but
it is. To piggyback on that, just in general, the whole back four, I'm so happy with this back four, bro. I'm so impressed. I don't think the Sheriff game specifically, I don't think Dalot, I thought, was trash that game. But in general, just talking about our back, I mean, he still earned the penalty, I guess. But like, he made in general, four, this, yeah, in general, this back four, bro, it's such a good back four. And Martinez specifically, Licho, bro, how good Varane is playing for us now. I mean, Varane is Rolls Royce. The guy is playing different. Like, the even Ten Hag after the game, I think he complimented specifically his leadership qualities too. I think he talked about, like, organizing the back four, I don't know what the right word he used, but I'm just going to paraphrase and say he used the reliable one. I don't remember the word, but I think that comes down to obviously the coaching, but also Martinez coming in. You love to see it. I mean, Malacia playing right back was a little interesting towards the end there. It shows kind of his versatility, because the guy plays like midfield, probably what, 50%? Maybe that's a high reach, maybe 40% of the game. He's like tucked into midfield. And then to see him just like be in right back for a few minutes, it wasn't that long. It's obviously probably like cameo levels, but I love the back four, man. That's one of my kind of big takeaways, not just from Sheriff, but in general so far, this back four.
Yeah, love I it. Feel that. I love the back four. Look, man, I'll hold my hands up again. McTominay is out here rocking juego de posición. I mean,
dude, finally said it.
Him and if you told me him and Eriksen as a pivot would be this good, bro, I would have reached through this whatever this device is that you guys are on and given you a thick slap, bro. He like I and again, this comes down to coaching, but also to the you got to give credit to the player himself for being able to adapt to a style of play which is not that easy. I mean, if people think it's easy, you can go and look at Pep's transfer history, the amount of players he cycles through when it doesn't work. McTominay has been a class defensive midfielder. Granted, he hasn't had to do as much passing as he has in recent weeks, but even when he has, he's been breaking which lines a little good, bit. Though. Which is good, but like even when he's been on the ball, like, bro, I haven't even really been able to throw a joke at him, I think, since like Arsenal, bro. Like, he's been like passing through the lines, keeping it simple. His tackling is just, he's not like, granted, I was talking to some other fans, some Liverpool fans, some Arsenal fans, and one of my boys goes, yo, that guy McTominay is a thug, which I thought was so funny. But like his tackling, bro, he's been breaking up a lot of counters so against good. Sheriff early on, like there were one or two where their wingers were starting to get going, just sticks one telescopic leg out. Honestly, reminiscent of that guy AWB, just a little telescopic leg, picks up the ball, gives it to Eriksen, and he's like, all right, I did my job, let me just shield the back line. And again, I think that's also helped our back line, like you were saying, Eames, be better when like you have a proper shield. And part of it's the system, part of it's just like players got to win their 1v1 duels, and that's been happening a lot more.
I love when he does that. I think this is super underrated when you watch a player like win a tackle and then immediately like get rid of the ball immediately and not like clear it or put another player into a tough position. I just love how much he's delegating, not really getting involved. And Ten Hag day one spoke about, we got to put the players in the best position for them to succeed, and we got to play the style that our players will allow it. And probably McTominay is the best example of that, where he's doing the things that he's good at doing, and he's not being asked to do the things that he's not good at doing. Yeah, that midfield pivot. Bro, snacks. Eriksen. Come on.
Just before I get into that, I just wanted to say it's still like I got the feeling like I don't think Sheriff is a really good barometer. Like we know we're good, but we met expectations is what I would say. But we played really, really well. Don't want to take anything away from anybody. We're still kind of like a left side dominant team. I feel like Anthony's taking some time to like grow and develop and fit and stuff. Like he knows Erik ten Hag probably along with Lichtsteiner better than anyone. But you still got to adjust to new teammates. Like he's not dealing with a target man at nine anymore. Like you gotta make adjustments. You gotta do that. So I'm not upset or anything like that. And yeah, Eriksen, going to him. He's just, I think I said it in the group chat. He's like the second best midfielder in the league. Like if Haaland didn't have 10 goals and like De Bruyne didn't have like 6 assists already, I would put it to Eriksen. Like Eriksen's been that good. He's been class, man. He's like, this was the guy. This is what we've been looking for. And it's just crazy that we've spent like 200, 300 million, whatever currency, to find the guy. And the guy that ended up being that guy is the guy we got in a free transfer.
Yeah.
This is the signing I was the most hyped for in the summer, if you remember from the episode we recorded. I was just like, we could sign literally anybody else. I really don't care. As long, like, if we get Eriksen, like, it's a good transfer window. Because he just instantly solves so many problems for us. And... yeah, I mean, he's looked really, really good. I think he's been United's best player.
I think that's a fair shout to say he's been fair. I think he's been our most, I think best and most consistent. I think Brentford, obviously, the whole team kind of played bad, and I know he was at fault for a few goals, depending on different varying degrees. But I would say otherwise, yeah, I agree with you, man. He's not only been very consistent, he's just been taking things over.
The assist to Sancho yesterday was disgusting. He just like... it's like a FIFA pass. It was like it's like something you attempt in FIFA and it just somehow came off. He like rolled around as he was turning and just bullet to Sancho. It was sick. Mm-hmm.
He's so good because he's a high IQ player. Obviously, we know that. What he's doing between like connecting the defense to the forward line is crazy. So he can do it all. He can do the recycling of the ball possession. He has that insane diagonal like switch of play ball that he can do. He can cross. The through balls are there. Obviously against Arsenal, you saw the high IQ when he made that run for Bruno to lay the ball off to him. He's really like a complete... what's that Dutch word for that type of midfielder that's just like a playmaker but not a 6 but an 8 but a 10?
Mazzala?
Is that what it is?
Italian, but he's not really Mazzala. He's like a Regista? That's Italian.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes.
To be fair, I wouldn't necessarily call him a Regista, but I think he is serving the Regista role. So I'm picking up what you're talking about. Like, a perfect example of Regista is Verratti. Verratti is like a 6. He's picking it off the center backs. He's spraying the thing. He's like Cruz, perfect, like a metronome type of thing. So he's our metronome. And I'll be honest, we haven't had someone like that since Carrick.
Oh. Yeah. You could go back. I mean, Daily Blind kind of tried to do that a little bit. I don't think he's as just like technically gifted as Eriksen is. And I mean, Eriksen started off his career, I guess, as a 10. So to see him drop back and do this now, bro, it's amazing. I love this guy. So wait, can we say he's been our best? If the season ended today, is he player of the year? I think I'd give it to Lichtsteiner still.
Why are you thinking about that? Dude, we're not even 10 games into the year.
Well, you said it, bro. You said he's been our best player. Well, so now you got me thinking.
Yeah. That's a fair coin toss. I probably, yeah, either one. I think, you know what it is? Because Lichtsteiner has like that passion. And I think as people have been kind of noticing about our back four, like whenever they make a big tackle or stop, like block shot, they like celebrate. It's very Italian. It feels very like if you watch the like Bonucci and Chiellini, like whenever they would block shots and everything, they'd be like beating their chest, screaming, and bring that attitude. I think that's really come with Lichtsteiner. I think fans obviously love that. You'll see like, you know, super passionate guys. Obviously, we love our Roy Keynes, yada, yada. I think
we needed that more than any team, bro. We were so soft last year, bro.
It's like an inner pride. And yeah, I agree. We need that so bad.
So yeah, I would give it to Eriksen. Eriksen's. He's just been so good. I would describe him more as a deep line playmaker. Like the way I think about it is just you count.
Sorry.
No. I'm calling him because, well, like you mentioned Verratti, and Verratti's more of a Regista than Eriksen is, and Eriksen's like not the 6. Like he might occupy those areas, but like
yeah.
If we consider the six in our team, whether that be McTominay or Casemiro, as part of the back five, he's the deepest guy collecting the ball, right? And that's why the deep line comes, because he'll collect the ball, and then that's when he'll start working. Like, when he gets the ball, he looks up, and he's like, okay, where are we going from here? And, like, deep lying doesn't mean you have to always be in the midfield. Like, he's, you know, the run against Arsenal and stuff like that. Like, for him, it's just about picking the opportunities. And that's what Eriksen has always excelled at. And, like, Erik ten Hag is doing a really good job of putting him in the position to just do more of that. We'll get to it later. But Erik ten Hag, I can't wait to talk about him. I literally cannot. I have such a fire point to say. But, yeah.
Let's just do that now.
Three points against Sheriff. Yeah, we'll do that now. 3 points against Sheriff. I'm sure we'll still qualify. I'm hoping we finish first. Apparently, if you finish first in Europa League, you skip the round of 32.
Yep.
So I really want to top the group just so we can.
Have to.
Yeah. And I mean, this was. What did you guys think of the lineup? The lineup is really strong. I don't think any of us minded it because, like, we don't have a game this weekend. Need those boys to stay sharp. If Rashford was fit, I'm sure Rashford starts. So.
Ahead of Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Probably
because he literally started every one of those players was our de facto starter except for Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly. The most surprising thing has to be probably like Casemiro, McTominay, but he brought him in literally at 45 minutes at halftime. So that tells me it's like fitness.
I think
like
he's, related. Yeah, I think
it's also learning to play Ten Hag style. Ten Hag style is so vastly different.
The six is like arguably the Carlo most Ancelotti. Important position.
Yes, exactly.
So, if you need the time, for me, like, normally these are things I would not give to a player or a manager, but, like, this is also the first real time in 10 years we've seen what actual progress looks like. So, it's, like, it's all new to me, to be honest. Like, I can't, like, in good faith look at a situation and not call it how it is, right? Even if I am a fan of the club, you know what I mean? I've always been a straight shooter. So for me to like be like, yeah, you know, Casemiro spent a lot of money on him, but he's gonna take all the time he needs. Like, that says a lot. That says a lot as to like what, like, yeah. Because like it's not just with the club, it's not just with the players, it's like with the fans. Like, we're definitely a less toxic fan base than we were after Brentford, and like significantly less toxic. So like, you got to give him credit there too, man. Got to give him credit there too. What do you guys want to talk about that's positive about Erik ten Hag?
God, where do I begin? I mean, I'll just say my favorite thing. My favorite thing still remains that he's playing whoever he wants to play. So like you can point to Sheriff, you can point to Sociedad, right? Sociedad, he brings McTominay back in, or sorry, Maguire back in.
Lindelof.
And then Maguire, I don't know. I probably expected him to start against Sheriff. He didn't start him. He went with the de facto starter, like you said, Varane. I think that the term, the expression in like British football, that he's giving him his rope so he can hang himself, you know, that expression. I think that I'm a big fan of. Because, you know, well, here's the thing, right? Every time you get a new manager, the new manager has to give everyone a chance. And so you get it, right? In preseason, Maguire didn't look that bad. He was okay. We played the team that we did. We won almost all of our preseason games. There was that one struggle game against Atletico Madrid, obviously. So when he went into Brighton and he went into Brentford and he played that starting 11 that he did, it's like, yo, fair enough. This is what managers do, right? But the smart, the savvy, the actual like...
cultured.
The big time managers, like, they'll just change it up, bro. It's his team. He decides what he does. The whole like equity in the bank... the pedigree, your history, your this, your that, out of the window. When you lose 4-0 against Brentford, when you lose against Brighton as well, bro, we're doing things my way now. That specific thing has been my favorite part about Ten Hag. And obviously, I mean, the playing style is crazy. The way he's got the midfield rolling, Bruno's back to business. Rashford looks like he's back to business. It's kind of shocking that Sancho didn't get that England call because he's playing well too. We still haven't seen it. Also, when Martial plugs into this team, and then obviously like when Antony and Casemiro start clicking too. I don't know, man. I this guy, everything he's been doing has been right. Everything he says in the media about the high standards is just like fuel to my fire, bro. I love Ten Hag. I think the biggest thing we talked about, this is my last Ten Hag point. The biggest worry we talked about, Snacks, I think there was an episode where we said, you know, we trust that he's probably good at tactics, right? Like we we're pretty common.
The man
you don't
management.
Do it.
The man management.
Yeah, it was the man management that was always going to be in question. And bro, it's his team. Like he's in charge. He's the boss. It's his team. He decides what goes. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Colin, do you want to go?
I mean, I could go on and on. I remember fighting for my life in this very podcast,
trying to convince people. We got to amend that right now. We got to talk about that. I don't think Eames and I don't regret anything I said.
Eames, no, I'm not saying you have to regret anything, but I'm just saying that I came in guns blazing.
If you're trying to say praying. You were like the early adopter, like you were the early adopter of the iPhone back in 2007 when people were still using flip phones. Yeah, okay, we'll give you credit.
Steve Jobs. Nah, I'm telling you, I was really dog. I was on the stage doing a delivering thing.
Ten Hag is Steve Jobs, bro.
Bro, I just...
Eric I was, Ten Jobs.
I think... I'm dead. That was actually mad. Yo, if there's one thing this podcast is great at, it is always going to be nicknames. Eric, 10 jobs. Bro. I'm weak. Yeah, speaking of Eric, and I think, yes, obviously it's less than 10 games in. I think, again, everyone's being a little bit more patient and starting to see the progress. I think he won his early battles, like Eames kind of said, like, all right, you know, I'm giving everyone a chance. Maguire, you get a start. Ronaldo, you get a start. And it was very painful to lose those two games. And I don't think he wanted to lose those games. I think he was just like, you know, I'm telling the players how I want to play, and I'll start the guys who, like, have that credit or yada yada, whatever. They lost. Cool. He snatches everything back. He's won his early battles, especially against Ronaldo. No offense to Ronaldo. Obviously, we love Ronaldo. But, like, Ronaldo is at the twilight phase of his career. And, like, the team is honestly better with him as an impact sub than him as a starter. Maguire, the less said, the better. And he's done it in a way where it's, bro, very little drama. Very little drama, bro. Like, obviously people are like, oh, Ronaldo's not really playing, like this and that. But you're just no more think pieces. I don't want no more ESPN FC 11:45 p.m. They're screaming at each other like, Ronaldo should start. Ronaldo, bro, it's been quiet. Same thing with Maguire. Quiet, bro. Like, Maguire's chilling. Like, obviously some people are like, oh, like, Maguire's not playing. Like, we have Varane, this and that. But, bro, for the most part, bro, quiet. I think the people he's brought in, the mentality-wise, obviously Eriksen's like, bro, one of the top IQ players that we can think of right now, but Licha, Casemiro, Malacia, Antony, bro, dog FC. Like, we're slowly moving up the chart. I like to say the y-axis is that boy nice, and the x-axis is he's got that dog in him. All of his signings are like that top right corner. Like, them boys are nice.
That boy nice.
And them boys got that dog in them, bro. Like, when Antony, there's this bro on his debut against Arsenal, he like kicked the ball off of Zinchenko, and like we got the throw in, and you see Antony like scream at Zinchenko. He's like, see, like, vamos. I'm like, bro, this is a winger tracking back in his own 18 doing defending and like getting, bro, we have dog FC, but it's not like, bro, all the lower teams in the league have dog FC, like that's all they do, but we're combining it with like real footy, bro, dog. And it's Ten Hag's best attribute is like sustained attacks under pressure. Like, you see City where it's like it's just relentless, like them always creating chances. Like, that's what Ten Hag's really good at with his Ajax teams as well. As we start to like get more comfortable with his style, I'm telling you boys, it's gonna be beautiful. His attacking combinations and his creativity in that final third is like really his strength. Like, Pep's is more possession based. If you're looking at that same school, like Cruyff Pep school, Arteta's really good at like build up and like the defensive phase. I'm telling you, Ten Hag's especially is the attack, bro. Just wait on it. It's gonna come. I'm very excited.
The test is coming. Our next game, bro. Like, this next one is about to be crazy. I was talking to a friend of mine.
I haven't talked about Ten Hag yet.
Sorry. Go ahead.
What is that? You could talk to your friend off the show, bro.
My bad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I always am. I'm either the biggest supporter or the biggest hater, and I was 100% the biggest hater on Ten Hag. For me, I've really been buying into the Prem only thing. Like, I'm good on other leagues, man. I really am. Winning the title is impressive in the Netherlands, sure, but like, and like Champions League semifinal, but like, until you're doing something that's like not expected, like. You could say it's not expected for them to finish in the Champions League, but like, we always know one of the bigger boys is going to fall out, and there's always going to be a smaller team in there. Ajax just tend to be that team most of the time, you know, semifinals, quarterfinals. So that's impressive. First two games were rough. I was just like, damn, bro, this is not looking good. And I wasn't going to watch the Liverpool game. And I was just like, you know what? It's literally Liverpool. Like, I could not watch another game the rest of this year. Liverpool is the one I have to show up for. And I mean, of course, we know what happened. We won. And like you said, Eames, like he's riding with who he thinks is best to get the win. And like my point I've been alluding to in the group chat and stuff like that is that like I said it earlier, like it's the first Real manager we've seen progress under and all this stuff, but mainly like I've realized like we've really been settling with the managers we've been getting. Like it's not, and it's not even close. It's really, really not even close. Because Erik ten Hag could finish the sixth this year, but you know we're ascending, right? Obviously, Louis van Gaal was supposed to be the guy that built the foundations and then left it for the next guy, right? That didn't work out. We wanted to win big, quick. Jose Mourinho didn't work. After Jose Mourinho, we got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, trash, garbage manager. Then we bring in Ralf Rangnick. Ralf Rangnick, like, is definitely not the worst out of that group. I probably hate him, like, the second most. But he wasn't good. Not good whatsoever. Again, like, settling. And then we bring in Erik ten Hag. We pay the compensation clause. We do the hard part of hiring a coach that's already employed. And we've kind of, like, and by we, I'm saying Manchester United, have kind of been, like, hands-off, you know, for the most part. He's pretty – you can tell this guy doesn't like talking to the media, like, at all. Mm-hmm. Like, my man beat Liverpool. They bring him to the thing, and he doesn't have a smile on his face whatsoever. And he cusses, too.
Yeah.
And he's just – he was tired
of people talking about us. Like, where he was like, them boys can play effing football. Like, he was – bro, he was tired of people talking about us.
And then – and here's the thing. Like – he seems like a guy and he acts like a guy that's been there before because he has.
Yeah.
And like these are what I'm talking about is stuff out of like TV shows like you would see in a sports documentary or a sports anime or something like that. But these are the things that matter. This is like in real life, they actually matter. You know what I mean? Like talking as if you've been there before makes a huge difference, right? When Jose Mourinho struggled, he still thought he was the man. You know what I mean? Like all he's going to like, especially after what we've heard from Martial and other people about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer recently, bro, his press conferences, like, honestly, I think it was under Ollie where I really started to dislike them because he had no idea what he was doing. It's honestly, like, you got
this club.
Like, you got to understand, like, it's unbelievable that we finished second and third under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because, in my opinion, he is by far the worst out of the four managers we've had.
I agree with that.
Right? It's like, it's a legitimate miracle. Legitimate miracle. And so. That's like I'm starting to appreciate the little things more, and like this is gonna sound super sus, but like I'm making myself more vulnerable to like attaching myself to Ten Hag in terms of like really, really rating him, because like numbers don't lie, bro. Numbers don't lie. Like we are arguably the informed team in the world, especially in terms of league play. We haven't lost.
Whoa! You gotta slow down there. I won't go that far. But
I mean, I'm talking about leagues that matter, and there's really only one. So
fair. I'll give you that.
There it is. So it's like, and like we haven't lost since Brighton. We've won every single game since then.
And Brentford.
We have the longest. Yeah, we have the longest win streak.
And Sociedad. But yeah.
Well, I said it in the league. Yeah. I said it in the league.
Oh, my fault. My bad.
And so you got to give him credit. Shout out to Erik ten Hag. I mean, I'm hoping things continue. And again, going back to my mindset of like not settling, like he didn't settle on transfer targets. You guys sent the stuff in the... from The Athletic, there's a bunch of articles, and it's like, well, Manchester United, John Murto and Richard Arnold proposed Rabiot and Arnautovic, and he kept pushing for Anthony, and he, like, wouldn't take no for an answer, and it's like, for me, like, I think he's been back to the point where, like, I think fourth is a very achievable and reasonable goal to go for, and I think he's going to get it, and he's probably going to do better than that, you know what I mean? So shout out Erik ten Hag, big up Erik ten Hag, he's been a very good, like Eriksen, a breath of fresh air.
And the real test.
Refreshing signing. And yeah, continue.
The real test is this next game. Because, bro, we have Manchester City. Are we home or away? Does anyone know?
I'll look it right now. Quick. Keep going. I got you.
Yeah, it's... I mean,
We're away. I mean, it's still in Manchester, but yes, yeah. We're away.
But we're away, so they're at home. I mean, listen, Sunday, this is going to be the real...
Sorry.
This is going to be the real test because they've definitely not lost any games. They have a couple of draws, and so
they have 2 points. They only have 2 points more than us, and they are leaking goals.
they're leaking goals. They're there to be had. This is like this is a really good time to play them, I think, in my opinion. Especially like we have the win streak going on in the Prem, and they're leaking goals, and we're, oddly enough, keeping clean sheets. This is the perfect time to play them. And this is like one of those, because now we're coming off the international break. So if we go into the next game and we beat Manchester City, this is the springboard that puts you like, I'm not going to even say what I'm going to say, but you guys, you know what I'm thinking about. This is the type of springboard that makes that conversation that I'm not going to talk about a conversation to be had.
I'll say I definitely, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, you say it's the best time to play them, and for us, kind of, but, like, Haaland eats, bro. Haaland has more goals than appearances in every competition he's been involved in this season. It's like, he's ridiculous, man. He's ridiculous. So it's like, I don't want to say I want to face them. I don't know if this is, like, for me, this isn't really a quote-unquote test, because, like, for me, like, City is still the top. Even though they're not on the top of the league, they're still the top, right? And it's like, is Erik ten Hag really going to get there his first year? It'd be incredible, and it's definitely possible, but I don't think he closes the gap to the point where he's like reaching out and just barely missing like the bottom of his feet, Pep's feet. So next year is going to be like where they're starting at the same place, assuming everything goes according to plan this year. So for me, I'm definitely worried. I mean, I'm definitely not to the point where I'd be like, yeah, I'm not confident at all, but I'm definitely not like, yeah, I'm like ready to go. Like, I'm ready to go for this game as a Manchester United fan. As a pundit, I'm like, yeah, not really.
No, I think I'm got to lean more snacks. I think, like, I mean, there's the obvious elephant in the room, which is Erling Haaland, and he's an absolute goal machine. I think Kevin De Bruyne, Eriksen aside, has been arguably the best midfielder in the league. I mean, bro, a lot. Like, they don't really have anyone. I would say Phil Foden hasn't really been the same. Like, he's been putting up stats, but, like, I've been watching his performances. He hasn't really been as good. They're like wingers. Like, Mahrez doesn't seem like he's been as good. Grealish is a non-factor. My boy's too busy rocking his Gucci headband. But, yo, Cancelo is...
Cancelo's outside the boot cross.
I was watching that. I was in a class. I thought I was going to pass out, bro. Dude, like, yeah. I think
that's so good. In terms of us. That guy is so good.
Remember that we also, I think it was under Ole, like, when Ole just signed with us, we could have had him and we said no for like 20 million, which is, it hurts.
But Ollie, anyway, bro. That's your boy, Eames. That's your boy.
Yeah, that's your boy, Eames. The thing is, you're right. In that we're on a win streak, and in terms of form for us, they're our worst times to play them. And I think this is, for us, a great time to play them.
Yeah.
I think they are a bit vulnerable in transition. Rashford has to play this game. Look, I'm not a big fan of Eames's Agriculture or FC. I wouldn't hate it if Alonga started this game, because I just want to burn them in transition. Especially if we can pick the ball up and, bro, Bruno, yeah. Eriksen, yeah. Lasagna,
yeah.
All them boys can play a ting. So, like, bro, put Rashford and Alonga on the horses. Let Sancho catch up. And, like, it feels very Jose Mourinho smash and grab. Like, that's our best route to win. I'm predicting a same lineup, except for Rashford starts to place Ronaldo. And I'm saying a 2-2 draw.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go same. So, you think McTominay ahead of Casemiro?
Yep.
Okay. Me too. I think McTominay ahead of Casemiro just because it's City. I'm going just for same lineup. Yeah,
and because not... City, and he's a United boy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so this is the game to play him. I'm gonna go same thing. Rashford ahead of Ronaldo, assuming he's fit. I'm so hyped to see Licha Varane versus Haaland. I'm gonna go. They'll concede. So they'll concede two goals. I think we only concede one. I'm going 2-1 to United.
If United win 2-1, I might smoke crack, man.
Okay. I want to say the player I'm most excited to see in this game will be Sancho. Kyle Walker's old, man. He has not looked good this year. That's the matchup. Like, Sancho just needs to find that Dortmund form. And I'm not saying he's been bad. Let's not say that. But the way he is scoring goals and getting assists this year, it's a lot different than the way he was doing it at Dortmund. And we just need him to get that one Dortmund game once a season, get it against City. Because this, like... their defense has been poor in no small part to Kyle Walker, in my opinion. I think he's been poor. So I think, yeah, I think Sancho has to, like, absolutely, like, go for him that game. I'm about to wrap it up. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, he scored. What's your
score,
time,
bro?
What did you say, Colin?
2-2.
I'll say 3-3.
If it's 3-3,
I'd be. I was going 2-2. I was going to say 2-2, but I can't. I will say though, I think Martial gets the start up top. Ooh, I think Rashford will still be injured. I don't think Eric wants Ronaldo to start against City. I don't think he do.
I hope not.
And I think Martial likes playing City. Martial likes playing City, like,
especially under Ollie. The match.
Yeah, especially against under Ollie. He every game we played against City, even the bad ones, he always played well. So, shout out to Tony. So I think he gets the start. I think he'll be back.
Word.
You can catch me on Twitter at SnackUGo. I just dropped a new video as of recording today, going over an event about video games. You can catch Colin at El Chico Uno. Keep it locked with Eames at the Talisman. Fire. He did his top six prediction finally. Pretty much piggybacked that off of this. And yeah, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.